When we think of the name of Jesus, what comes to mind? Today, Pastor Ray Bentley says it's important we remember just who he really is.
Jesus is the Messiah, King, resurrected. And that means he is the long-awaited, predicted King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is all-powerful, he is our Savior, he is our King. Remember him. Worship him.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Sometimes when we're surrounded by uncertainty and questions, it's most helpful to rehearse in our minds those things we know to be true. And the Apostle Paul encouraged his young son in the faith to do just that. Pastor Ray helps us examine Paul's counsel today in his message called Remember Me.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Paul is in prison. This is his last letter that he wrote. He has already been sentenced. He is going to die a martyr. Don't feel sorry for Paul. He is excited about going to heaven. Can't wait. That's our goal. That's our destination. But he's writing this last letter to a young guy named Timothy that has no self-confidence and trying to bolster him and encourage him and inspire him. So in verse 8, he says, Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ, remember Christ is the Greek for Messiah. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So two things. First of all, remember Jesus, our Savior. Do you know that our Heavenly Father wants us to remember things? One of the things that you'll find as you go through the Bible is remember. It's very, very important to God that we not forget. One of the things you'll notice as you begin reading through the Bible is God, on several occasions, would say to the children of Israel, now, listen, remember. Remember what I did. Remember what I have accomplished for you. Remember the miracles I did for you. Remember where you came from, when I found you, when I met you, when I called you. Remember you were slaves in Egypt for 400 plus years. Do you realize how long that is? Our country is maybe half of what that was. Imagine if you were a slave. Your mom and dad were slaves, grandpa and grandma were slaves, and going back 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 400 plus years of slavery. And then, miraculously, mightily, God delivering, raising up a man named Moses, and you know, the miracles that God performed, and then through the wilderness, and how he provided for them food and water and protection, and then bringing them into the land, flowing with milk and honey. And then God blessed them and prospered them because God loves his children. He loves to bless and prosper us. But here's the danger. God said, remember and don't forget, because when I bless you and when you come into your prosperity, the danger will be you will forget who you are. You'll forget your true identity. You'll forget where you came from. You'll forget what I did for you. And you will let go of that intimacy and relationship with me. And the danger is you'll fall in love with all the gifts and the prosperity that I will bless you with. Sounds familiar. Maybe even our own country could learn a lesson about remembering who we are, where we came from, and not just falling in love with the blessings. So, the Passover is one of those places. Exodus chapter 12, verses 26, 27 is in your notes. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. In other words, God said, I want you to remember this. Every Passover, how amazing, how miraculous, how divinely I blessed you. And then, because you followed me, I prospered you. But remember where that blessing and prosperity came from, and don't take it for granted. We remember Good Friday, which is basically Passover. So Passover was something they were to annually do and to have a deep spiritual memory, a deep-hearted spiritual memory and a time of reflection. Now, another thing God wanted them to remember was when he gave the law on Mount Sinai and what is called the Shema of Israel. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Now, what it goes on to say is, God says, and then, therefore, teach your children my laws, my commandments. Now, it's not just the Ten Commandments. Those are the basic ten. There are actually, 613 commandments that follow that. But each one of the 613 come under one of the ten laws or columns. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't covet, don't murder, so forth. And so these were what God said, teach, this is the way of life. I'm teaching you here as your, I am your father, you are my beloved son. I'm teaching you how to live a fruitful life, how to treat one another, how to love, and how to love one another. Then he says, teach it to your children when they lie down, when you get up, when you walk into the house, when you walk out of the house, remember my word. And so they have the little mezuzahs that the Jewish people would put on the doors, slanted at a degree. It has a portion of the law in it. And so the Jewish people, every time they walk into the door of the house, they will touch it and bless it and kiss it and remember the word of God in my heart. Or they will wrap it around their arm. Or the Orthodox Jews literally, because the word said, tie it as frontlets around your eyes. So to be literal, the Jewish people will take it, and they have this little box, a leather box with a tied leather strip around their head. It's got the law in it, physically on their minds. Because they're trying literally to follow what God had said. Now, God wanted for the word, his word, to be on the mind and in the mind and in their hearts, as he said. Don't forget, teach your children. And, you know, so often what will happen is you can have a great revival in one generation among a group of people who grow up and they become parents. And then invariably, this is what happened in Israel. For whatever reason, the parents don't pass their own faith, their own beliefs on to their children, and the next generation just goes sideways. And you see this cycle repeated over and over again. So therefore, not only the Old Testament, God says, remember, now in the New Testament, again, he says, remember Timothy, Jesus Christ. You almost think, you know, how could we forget? How could Timothy forget Jesus? But human beings are fickle, and we do not have great memories. It is amazing how quickly a people can forget their roots, can forget to honor their past or their parents. The whole, you know, honor your mother and father. That honoring is so deep and so vital and so important. And if it's not taught, if you don't learn to honor your parents, you're not going to learn to honor anybody else. You're not going to honor your boss. You're not going to honor your teacher. You're not going to honor the government. You're not going to honor the police. You're not going to honor anybody. So you have to learn that really in the home. God said, remember it. Timothy, remember. And it's because of this temptation to forgetfulness in human nature that Jesus instituted what we celebrate as communion was his Last Supper. And this is what Jesus said about it. He said, "Remember me when you do this. As often as you do it, remember me." How could we forget Jesus' love? But he intentionally told us, as often as you celebrate the Lord's Supper, you do it and remember me. And what he is saying by that is, I want you intentionally to spend time remembering how much I love you. I want you to remember what I did for you. I want you to remember my suffering on the cross. I want you to remember that the freedom that you have and the eternal life that you have came at a price. It cost me something. It cost me everything. I want you to understand the kind of love I have for you is deep, it is personal, it is passionate, it is intense, it is all. I showed everything on the cross. I held nothing back. Jesus was God incarnate. He was literally God incarnate. And he was saying, I love you this much that I die for you in your place and bear your punishment and your sins by being crucified. I can't do any more. Somehow there was something about the cross that the very height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of God came through. And it's something to remember. So what are we to remember? Remember his resurrection, Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, raised from the dead. That is really, when you boil it all down, the essence of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. Jesus is, there is no one like him in this regard. No one. No one in all of human history. No other leader, no other religious guru, no one did what Jesus did, no one said what Jesus said, and no one raised from the dead. He was resurrected uniquely. And it's amazing that, you know, so often people will, well, look at this in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. This is out of the New Living Translation. Let's read this. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. Paul says, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe. It is this resurrection power. Listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. That's awesome. How many think that's pretty cool? It's amazing. It's inside of us. Right now, alive, living, resurrection, life, and power by the Holy Spirit is in you. But that's not all. There's more. That resurrection life is in you, but the truth of the matter is that we are all going to die unless the rapture happens. If the rapture happens, Jesus comes for his church in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and we all go to heaven. That's what I would love to have happen. I would love to just be caught up and in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and go directly to heaven. Anybody with me on that? Okay, let's go. But peradventure, the Lord tarries another generation. So that our generation kind of comes to the end, then we're all going to die. Physically, we're all going to die. As I often have said, the statistics on death are really quite impressive. One out of every one person will die. Then what? Now, you've got all your, a lot of you are very well educated. You've read all the great atheists and some of the great thinkers, and without even mentioning their names, you know who they are, that basically said, look, there is no God, there's no heaven, there's nothing out there. All there is this physical universe and the life you have now. And when you die, that's it. There's nothing beyond. So that's what they say. Now, what is interesting, so they basically say we're products, you know, creation, nature created us, and this is where we are. We got this little space of time. You die and then poof, you're gone. That's it. Why then is death so unnatural? It doesn't matter your language, your culture, your background, the color of your skin. Why do we hate it? Why do we resist it and fight it if it's all so natural? Why do we spend so much time, money, and energy trying to live longer, and if we could, live forever? The desire to live forever is to be like God, because only God lives forever. It's interesting, I was reading about Ted Turner, the guy from CNN, brilliant guy, smart guy, very good thinker. You know, he has a lot of passion and created CNN and among other things, but he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist. And he said, all these people that believe in a savior and, you know, heaven, he goes, every morning when I wake up and I look in the mirror and I'm shaving, I'm looking at the savior. Now, that's what he said. Now, what he meant by that was, because he doesn't believe in heaven, why spend all of your time waiting for something in the future? Try to save, you know, whatever you can of the earth, the ecology, or whatever here. But the day will come when Ted Turner dies, and at that point, he will no longer be a savior, because he'll be dead. And only God lives forever. C.S. Lewis said, the most logical result that all of humanity finds death unnatural is that maybe it actually is unnatural. In other words, that we weren't meant to die. We were made in God's image. We were actually designed to live forever. But something has short-circuited. And that's what the gospel is all about, is bringing us back into alignment with Him. So, not only do you have resurrection life in you right now by the Holy Spirit, there's coming a day when you get a new resurrected body. Just like Jesus, though you will die, should the Lord tarry, you will be resurrected and be given a new resurrection body. How many are looking forward to that new body? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, 21. Let's read this out loud. But the fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first of a great harvest of those who will be raised to life again. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Christ. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. But all who are related to Christ, the other man, will be given new life. You will be resurrected. There's a perpetual Easter for all of God's children. So remember Jesus resurrected, and secondly, remember Jesus our Christ, which means Messiah, which means King. You have a King. You are royal members of a royal family. You have royal blood in you by the life of the Spirit, and we have a King. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, descended from David. It is significant that after his resurrection, Jesus, you know, it was right after he is risen from the dead, there are two disciples that are walking down the road, on the road to Emmaus, and they're depressed. Oh, they're so depressed. They're talking with one another. We thought Jesus was the one. How did this happen? The miracles that he did, and they were just grieving as they walked along the road. A stranger comes alongside of them. Says, what's wrong with you guys? Why are the long face? And they go, hello, have you been in Jerusalem at all? All Jews are required to be there at Passover. Jesus of Nazareth, have you heard of him? The miracles? Many of us thought he was the Messiah. But then he was crucified just 3 days ago. And now all of our hopes and dreams, such a beautiful man, such miracles, such heavenly teaching came out of his mouth. This stranger then began to share with them, and this is what the stranger, who was Jesus, unbeknownst to them, said. Luke chapter 24, verses 26, 27 is in your notes. Let's read that out loud. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory. Then Jesus quoted them passage after passage from the writings of the prophets, beginning with the book of Genesis and going right on through the scriptures, explaining what the passages meant and what they said about himself. Jesus takes these guys and goes, well, he was crucified, he did all these miracles, and then he died? Well, let's start in Genesis, and I'll go all the way through the scriptures and the prophets and show you that's exactly what they said would happen to the Messiah. How many would like a recording of that Bible study? And then there's a fork in the road, and they would have gone this way, and he was going to, see you later. And they're like, no way, come. We want to ask more questions. And they go to their house, and he answers all their questions, and finally they're having a meal, and they didn't recognize him until it says he broke bread, and when he broke bread and handed it to them, their eyes were open. We don't know what happened, but some commentators say it's because finally his hands revealed the scars in his hands. And they went, oh, it's Jesus. And as soon as they knew who he was, he disappeared from their sight. Jesus is the Messiah, King, resurrected. And that means he is the long-awaited, predicted King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It means because of his resurrection, he's victorious over death, disease, and evil. It also means because he is resurrected from the dead, he has all power in heaven and on earth. He is the resurrected, living Messiah. He is all-powerful. He is our Savior. He is our King. Remember him. Worship him. Bow before him and live with him forevermore. Amen? Amen. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, we just come before you. Thank you for your word, and let us not forget. Help us, Lord, to remember your goodness and your nearness, to remember the miracles that you have done, to remember where we came from and when you found us and how you delivered us and saved us and the miracles we've seen. And Lord, as we grow older together, may we learn how to love one another more genuinely, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to bear one another's burdens, to comfort one another, to encourage one another. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good encouragement today from our studies in 2 Timothy. Pastor Ray Bentley here on Maranatha Radio. And today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Remember Me. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us see God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.